Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple, Apple Podcasts, on Android, Spotify, or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server. We're taking episode suggestions directly from Off the Floor. We got this one from Off the Floor, so it's not our fault if you don't like it. But you can make your own suggestions on Off the Floor. The link is right here in the description. Also, check out great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, including Prize Picks. Pivoting to football season, they got the football props, preseason props are up there. Actually, you even have the props up for the Dolphins opener against Jacksonville. And you playing Tyreek over 89.5 yards? We'll see. Anyway, use the code 5, F-I-V-E. They got a new promotion. Instead of that thing where you had to put down $50 or $100, you don't have to put that down anymore. Put down 5. $5, they're giving you 50. That's the deal. I don't know how long this is going to last, so jump in there as soon as you can. PrizePicks.com or get it from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Deposit $5. Make a play. They're giving you $50 free to play. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power. Have the guts. We're here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick on the Five Reasons Sports. We got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. We got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at BradyHawk305. We will soon start our top 40 countdown, but it's actually going to be kind of a count up because what Greg and I realized was if we go from 40 down to 1, everybody knows who 1 is going to be, right? So we might as well just get that out of the way. I mean, I would assume everybody Michael knows Beasley. Who 1 is. Correct. Exactly. So, you know, we want Bees to get his flowers, and so we're going to do it the other direction. We're going to go from 1 to 8 and then 9 to 16 and so on until we get to 33 to 40, because I think that the big debates are going to be over the last few on the list, actually. So that's the way we're going to do this. We're going to split into a series of episodes. If you subscribe to Off the Floor, you will be able to put your own lists up there. And I saw our Sean Rochester. He does these things in like 3 minutes. He literally like he had like a top 60 list. He whittled it down to 40. He put the 40 up there. There's about 23 names on there that Alex and Brady do not recognize. They could be bankers or lawyers or policemen for all they know. They have no idea. Anyway, we're going to get to that soon. But today, Tyler Hero. Now, Alex, you're saying that this is a refresh of a topic we've done before. Is that your characterization of this?
Well, I mean, yeah, I did say that pre-show. I didn't want to say that for the podcast audience, but yeah, I said this is like a Trojan horse, right? Because we're doing this quote-unquote new topic, but it's the same topic, just dressed up differently with a different angle. But that's our specialty, baby, especially in this time of year. So,
Oh, it is. Well, we're going to do the Jimmy Butler contract extension 65 different ways. I mean, this is like, you know, Coca-Cola. They put it in all these different kinds of cans. They have these commemorative cans. It's the same shit.
No, it's like Taco Bell, actually. When Taco Bell gives this, like, new menu item and it's the same ingredient, it's always just, like, wrapped up differently.
Okay, so here it is. This is our Taco Bell menu item, and here it is, okay? Devin Booker has gotten a lot of praise, I think rightly so. For the way he fit on Team USA. And that was essentially doing role player type things. I mean, shooting the ball at a high rate. He obviously, his efficiency numbers were very good overall. And it's funny because there's a tweet that's gone around, and I think from 4 years ago, was it Draymond who tweeted it, that somebody was going to need to, I'll have to take a look at the exact Devin Booker tweet. But
it was Kuzma.
Thank you. That's right. Yeah, Kuzma and Draymond. How can I confuse the two of them? So Kuzma, Brady, do you remember the specific of the tweet? Because I remember is Devin Booker saying, I'll do it.
I think it was basically along the lines of like somebody having to play a role on that team. Like somebody has to take a step back and sacrifice. And he was basically saying, I'll do it. And credit to him, he did do it. Like, and part of that, by the way, and this is why the comparison, I think more so the comparisons offensively, because the praise that he's been getting feels like is more so defensively, because he really, I think, is an underrated defender. When he is locked in, he was really good in the Olympics. He was just really good on that end of the floor. So that changes perspective alone. But it obviously did take a step back offensively as well.
Well, and look, Devin Booker is a sore subject for Heat fans for really two reasons at this point. Okay. The first reason is justice was not better. And now this don't jump in on there, Alex. I know you have to defend him and Beasley. We're still waiting. He may make a great comeback here, but it appears that the Heat might have missed on that pick compared to what they could have taken. Just possibility of that. And the latest report came out that Devin was like shopping for property or a place to live in South Florida because he thought the Heat were going to draft him. And I remember that draft night.
Okay?
It's in the video, exactly. Well, here, look, I remember I was 790 the ticket at the time, and we had a draft party at Gulfstream, okay? And on the way down, all I heard was, wow, is there a possibility Justice Winslow's going to fall in this draft? Because he was projected to really go as high as 4. And if you look back at that draft, very few guys panned out. Who was it? The Duke big guy? Okafor, etc. Right? Like there was okay. So that draft didn't work out very well for a lot of teams. That was also the draft. What Kaminsky? Like Jordan turned down all the picks. You know, because there was interest in Winslow from Boston. He turned down all the picks, and he ended up taking Frank Kaminsky, who was pretty much a non-factor there. A lot of mistakes. Okay, but Booker was a Kentucky guy. We know that Pat likes Kentucky guys, especially when Calipari was there. And the feeling was that they might take him if he was there, but then justice fell. And it was reminiscent of what happened with Caron Butler in 2002, where Caron was supposed to be a top 5 pick and fell to 10, which was where the Heat picked again in 2015.
Ethan, can I also ask you, because there in that video where Booker was talking, he said something about Pat where like he, I think he was on the long lines of like, he was prior to that draft was talking about wanting a Clay type player. Mm-hmm. And, like, what were your thoughts on that? Like, because obviously you were covering the team then. Like,
Yeah, it did. But there are two ways I thought that they could go. I mean, the organization has a Kentucky predilection and a Duke predilection. Okay. I mean, Duke because more of ownership, obviously, and particularly Nick. And then, you know, the Kentucky thing is a Pat thing and relationship with Calipari and et cetera, and all of that that went on. I mean, look, they drafted Dwayne in part because of what Dwayne did to Kentucky in the Elite Eight, okay, back in 2003. So everything seems to center around those two schools and Marquette. Okay, so that's my assumption is if it's one of those three schools is involved, you know, the Heat may end up doing something in that direction. Now, I didn't have them pegged to take Booker necessarily, but I can tell you when I was at Chicago draft camp that year, and we will get to the actual topic here. We're 8 minutes in, but it's August. When I was at Chicago pre-draft camp, the players were all available in the back. And the Kentucky guys were all there. I mean, there were five Kentucky players drafted that year. Okay. Coley Stein was among them, right? I'm not going to remember everybody off the top of my head, but they were all there. But the guy that we thought the Harrison Heat was targeting was – right, exactly, the Harrison Twins, right. The guy we thought they were targeting was Stanley Johnson. And I spent some time talking to Stanley Johnson just on the side afterwards, and I tweeted some stuff he said, and I can tell you that a Heat decision maker texted me and said, stop giving it away, because I was tweeting too much about Stanley Johnson. So this idea that they were necessarily like only going to take Booker, I don't think is correct. They were, you know, Stanley Johnson went before Winslow. Most people didn't think that was going to happen. And then Winslow was available at 10. They took Winslow. So anyway, that's the first reason for Heat fans having this issue with Devin Booker. The other one is kind of my fault, okay? Because I was told by someone in the organization in Tyler Hero's second year that Tyler was told, don't be like Devin, be better. You can be better. So I tweeted that, and that still gets quote tweets, a lot of them. I'll try to find it here as we go forward. But yeah, that one has not necessarily played out to this point. But it doesn't mean that, again, Tyler can't pick up some things from Devin. He's outplayed Devin a couple of times when they played against each other. There obviously is a relationship there. And I'll start with this, Alex. Like, from what you saw from Devin Booker, we can call this a Taco Bell topic or not. It's up to you. But from what you saw in the Olympics with Devin Booker, what is the one thing Tyler can take the most?
Really, it's just like playing off the ball. It's the stuff we've been talking about forever. Like I said, it's a Trojan horse topic, just dressed up differently. And I think this was proof of like the stuff we've been talking about. And of course, you know, like, let's say here, disclaimer, this is not apples to apples by any means. Team USA has a ridiculous amount of talent, right? And Devin Booker in the starting lineup, you know, was one of the guys playing a role along with Drew whenever he started. Like, it, you know, those were the obvious guys who kind of scaled down their usage maybe more than others, because everybody is scaling down a little bit for sure from, you know, most of them being their first options on their respective teams. I just think it's not apples to apples there. So I know people are you know, they're going to be in our comments with that. That's out of the way. It should be obvious, right? Outside of that, Devin Booker had the best true shooting percentage among like guys who actually played, had the lowest turnover percentage, one of the best assist percentages, and was the guy that they continued to leave in that starting lineup, no matter how much they were, you know, moving pieces around. Maybe he might've got benched for one game. I don't remember 100% right now, but he was steadfast in that lineup for a reason, and they were talking him up this whole time for a reason. He was willing to play the role, like he said all those years ago. He stuck to those words, and him and Steph, you know, to different degrees, of course, because Steph's usage really spiked those past couple of games as far as how much they were going to him. But both of them were out there as decoys, almost, in the sense of, like, you know, you're trying to leverage their shooting gravity because they're both knockdown shooters, obviously. And I think Booker just had, you know, a much more even shooting performance this whole Olympic run, right? And then on top of that, like what Brady was talking about, the defensive stuff, like he was really fighting over screens and putting in kind of just effort that you won't see from him all the time in the regular season, at least for, like, you know, consistently throughout his stints, right? Because he's also playing less minutes, it's shorter games. There's a lot of different factors at play here. I just think Tyler, it's like you can see what he's doing, what Devin Booker is doing, and be like, okay, it's reasonable that he ends up being one of the most efficient and impactful guys on the team because he's so good at what he does. And I think that's what this comes down to with Tyler. It's like, we don't think that you should play off ball more because you suck on ball. We think you should play off ball more because you can leverage the shooting threat more. Yeah. And optimize your game more on top of the team. Like, it's both things, at least in my opinion. I think he would optimize his own game on top of, like, oh, this is the better thing to do for the team. And again, that's not to say he hasn't tried to do it. I think he showed it, you know, like, it's part of his game. I just think it should be a bigger part of his game. And I think it was in the little time we did see him alongside Terry. Like, they were, you know, when they played together, I thought a lot of times he was deferring in a good way, because him, you know, running around out there is a threat. Like, it's a big threat because he's one of the best shooters on the team, second best shooter in the team, and one of the best shooters in the league. So I think him, like, trying to optimize his game a little bit and find that balance with a little bit more off-ball stuff, considering he's capped out as a finisher, capped out as a free throw guy, it seems like the natural progression for him. And it doesn't mean you become a 3-and-D like KCP type of player or something. You know, it's, you're still playing your game. You're just kind of adjusting the role, adjusting the shot profile, still having a ton of usage and a ton of importance on a team that, you know, thinks of itself as a contender.
Brady, let me ask it this way. Why do you think he doesn't want to lead into that? Because it's been pretty clear. He's brought it up a couple times. Like, when he has done it, and he kind of makes the point of saying that he just did it, right? Like, you know, he didn't say exactly, everybody wants me to play off the ball. But it was something along those lines. I remember he set off a game in which he had done it quite a bit. Why do you think it seems like it's not something he wants to do necessarily? And maybe I'm reading it wrong, but it seems like that.
I think it's partly to do with the in and out lineups. Like, I think if he had a little more consistency with his lineups and he figured out like he could play this role consistently, I think he would buy into it. But it's the fact that he's forced right back in, you know, in a 3-game span to play on the ball much more because this guy or this guy's out. And it's just too much fluctuating. Like, he doesn't have a defined role. So I think if it's, like, if you go into this season where Jimmy's going to play X amount of games, you have a healthy Terry Rozier, he could kind of say to himself, okay, like, I can do this. And he did it to give him credit, he did it for a good portion of this past season. Like, he shot 43% on catch and shoot threes. Like, he shot it at an exceptional level. And that's why I think it's so, like, to compare him to USA Booker, 100%, because you look at the way he was playing offensively, and you even hear the announcers, like, they're like, look how smooth this guy's jumper is. And it's like, he does have just a smooth, straight-up jumper just looking off the catch. And Tyler does too. It's the same thing with – like, Tyler has a smooth-looking jumper. And when you can lean into that a little more when you're playing with those type of players, obviously it looks a little stronger. The issue is, like, Tyler shot 43% of catch-and-shoot threes, and he shot around 4 a game. Booker shot around, like, 2 catch-and-shoot threes a game this past season. Like, he's in a position as well where, as much as we're comparing him to this USA version – he can't really do it as much either for his team. Even with a guy like Kevin Durant, he has to play such a different game and lean into so many different things that you can never fully lean into one thing. Because to be honest, he's not a specialist. He's not a Duncan Robinson type player. Duncan came in as a specialist. That's what he is. And as much as we want Tyler to lean into it more just for lineups and everything, and I think he will, you cannot fully make him do that because he does have different flashes to his game. The question I kind of have, like, comparing him to, like let's not to fully lean into this comparison, but leaning into, like, the regular season Booker, is Phoenix lets Booker take a lot of pull-up twos, which Tyler loves. Like, Tyler loves that game, and that's partly of what he took from Booker, is playing that kind of quick pull-up game in a deep two. He took a lot of and obviously we talked about Tyler not being able to take as many. I wonder if that gets reevaluated in some way. And I know we've gone back and forth about this on recent episodes. Like, I think Terry's a guy that needs to turn him into threes because he's a tough shot maker. Like, you don't want a tough two. If you're going to take a tough shot, take a tough three. As Tyler doesn't take a ton of them, Tyler's more so a guy that finds the open twos. Like, he's flowing into pull-up twos and those type of shots in the middle of the floor, free throw line extended, just trying to find open space. That it almost feels like maybe it's playing more off ball, but when he is on ball, not limiting him to make him be this finisher that he's not, like this physical threat that he's not. And as we talked about before, like, yeah, it moves the needle the most if he does jump his free throws. But is that realistic? Is he going to get the calls even if he is trying to play more physical? I don't know. Like, I think that's all up in the air, and that's kind of up for discussion. But I think the stuff that he can control just shouldn't be limited. And even looking at, like, Booker shot around, like, 5 shots a game less than 10 feet from the basket, and that's pretty much where Tyler is. Like, the things are similar. The free throws is just the big difference because he can't really get to the line, obviously. So I think in some ways it is kind of limiting his game or not restricting his game and letting him kind of play in that similar style where maybe he is allowed to take more open twos, just trying to get himself in a flow. Mm-hmm. And when he gets in the flow, obviously, as we know, then the threes start falling, then the rhythm starts to kick in. So I don't know. I think that's more so the thing to take than a different scenario with Team USA.
All right, I'm going to read this tweet, and then after the break, I got a question for each of you guys related to this. So I tweeted this, like, time flies, December 28th, 2019. this must have been after a really good Tyler game because it was about 11:19 p.m. So this feels like one of those I tweet, you know, where I'm holding something that somebody's been telling me, and then okay, well, it was just validated, so we'll go with it. So I tweeted, okay, I'll share that Tyler Hero anecdote. A Miami Heat official was recently speaking with him about his role model in the NBA. Hero said it was Devin Booker, as he often does. The official told him to aim higher. As an all-around player, you can be better. Now, I can tell you that, again, that was tweeted 4.5 years ago. That was getting quote tweets like this week. Some of it is just skulls across the top of the cult quote tweet. So people have thrown this one back in my face for a while. I'm just all I'm saying related to it. Okay. That's what Heat officials were telling him. We've talked about Tyler making incremental improvements over the past few years. He has improved since I tweeted that. He has. Okay.
And Booker became a better all around player.
That's what I want to get to after the break. Before we do, I want to talk about it. A great all-around insurance person, Lynette. Insurancebylynette.com, 954-581-8800. You can also find her following all of our Heat content on our Discord, off the floor, on Playback. We'll get back on there soon. And also here on the YouTube channel on the podcast. But the big thing with her is that she can get you car insurance, life insurance, renter's insurance. She can find you the best price, the best deal for you. And based in Lauderhill, but services the entire Tri-County area. So 954-581-8800 or Insurance by Lynette. And again, insurancebylynette.com, two N's, two T's. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, I'll go to Brady first on this, and then I'll let Alex close. So we talk about the free throw shooting and the challenges that Tyler's had there. Obviously, Booker has been able to get to the line more often. Is there something physically different, in your view, between the two of them that might allow Devin to be a better defender, as he showed to be, I think, in the Olympics, which is not something he's always shown with Phoenix? I mean, look, Devin was known as a chucker. They were losing. I mean, not that his efficiency numbers were terrible, but he'd score 70 points. I mean, and it was like, it didn't seem to matter for his team before. But he clearly has rounded out his game. Can Tyler round out his game in some of the ways that Devin has?
So defensively, I mean, the biggest difference I would say is Booker just has more size. Like he just has more strength defensively, where he's not going to get bullied. Like he can't get overpowered on a switch, it feels like where he can kind of hold his own. And Tyler's, we've seen him put on weight, but it just never lasts. Like it because of the long seasons and everything, like it's not something like to that degree. So obviously he has to rely more defensively on his side to side quickness. Like that has to be his focus in the offseason always. That has to be to be able to cut people off and just be active 24/7. And we've seen him be more engaged. We've seen him more active with his hands and just being engaged off ball. But I think the problem is, I don't know if that's in him to not get punted just because of the size. Like, I don't think the size is going to change. The thing is that I think in terms of an all-around game is Tyler's passing is underrated, because those games where he goes into that mode where he is looking for, like, where teams are overreacting. Was it the one game they won against Boston in the playoffs this past year? I think that was the game where he had a big passing game. That pops off the screen, like when that starts to kick in. And we've seen Booker do that when he's played point guard with this recent squad. His passing's kind of been in that same way. And I think that's kind of the biggest comparison I could see of really molding that all-around game. And the thing is, so we want him to we'd say we want him to play more off ball, and then we say we want him to be more of an all-around player and can be a connector and a passer. So it's like, that's kind of the problem. I think a lot of time is like you're asking for so many different things that are almost contradicting. But I think the key is, for me specifically, is I do think there's going to be a big focus this season on staggering. And I think Tyler's going to be in a situation with a lot of lineups where he's going to be with either Jimmy or Bam. And I think most of the time it's probably going to be Bam. And they run lineups where he does control a little bit more and he can lean into the passing, just like we've seen in recent lineups from past seasons. But the key is, like we said before, his role has to be clear. Like he has to know that he is going to be staggered and he has to lean into that and he can play his game. And if he starts the game, he's playing a little bit more off ball, where Jimmy's driving, Terry's attacking, Bam's obviously going to have a main piece of the offense, and he can play off and get going from three. Then when they stagger, he's more of the on-ball guy. He's more of the facilitator. He can get into that mode. I just think the issue becomes when he's asked to do so many things at once in these random lineups, it just gets a little weird and he gets a lot of the blame. But the passing is probably the biggest comparison. The defense, it gets a little trickier.
We know Devin's never been asked to come off the bench. A little bit of different situations. But I have a hypothetical for you. And well, actually, this is good introduction. Right. Well, Kentucky. That's true. Well, and Hero, again, wasn't really a big factor the first half of his collegiate season. It was the second half that they leaned into him a lot more. But this is kind of a preview for something we're probably going to end up doing before the season starts, which is a bunch of what if episodes. So I'm going to give you a what if question to close here, Alex. Devin Booker was drafted to a bad team. Okay. Yep. Like, and they did a lot of losing, with him doing a lot of scoring. But as Brady mentioned, he kind of had to do everything, right? So he was a point guard when he wasn't really a point guard. And now, again, we're talking about him leaning in, being a primary scorer, going back off the ball. It seems like he can do a little bit of everything. If Tyler had been drafted to, let's say the situations were reversed, okay? And because Tyler was drafted to a pretty good team. Jimmy Butler was coming in, right? Like that's, you know, and they still had Bam at that stage and still had Goran. Right. So he was drafted a pretty good team that ended up being a team that went to the finals. I mean, as a five seed, but went to the finals. If the roles had been reversed, how do things look? Do you think Tyler would have benefited from being drafted to a team where he wasn't put in the situation where, you know, kind of the pressure cooker right away and having to adjust his game around guys like Jimmy and Bam, like Devin, and he could just grow everything until the team got better around him?
I think he would have benefited in the sense that his numbers would have been better. Right. And I think people would have had a little bit more patience with him. I'm not saying he turns into Devin Booker, though. I don't think that happens just because of situation. There's clear differences between them physically. Right. Like you guys were talking about it there. It's about a 15 pound difference as far as listed weight. Devin Booker is stronger. They're a similar height. But I just looked it up and I didn't realize that Devin Booker had a 6'8 wingspan. Like that's a pretty sizable difference. It's like a 5-inch difference between him and Tyler's. So, yeah, like Brady was talking about defensively, it's hard to make up some of those things, but, you know, keep getting better there. But then when you just look at offensively, like he for sure would have been more productive. He would have had bigger numbers, and I think people just wouldn't have been paying too much, you know, like other than the diehards. Right. A lot of people would have been paying it like too much attention and just been like, oh, look at this young guy averaging 23 points a game in his rookie year, right? Because, and I think that was the same year. Oh, no, that was the year after they had traded Goron here. So he didn't even have to defer to a Goron or anything. It was his team from the start. So, yeah, Tyler would have had a rookie of the year type of year. Not that he would have won it, but he already had a great rookie year here coming off the bench. I think it would have been productive and beneficial for him in that way. But, yeah, like other than that, I just think, like Brady mentioned, the passing, I think that's something that it took a long time for Devin Booker to get better at. You know, there was some marginal improvement there. But since, you know, from your tweet in 2019 to now, he's gotten significantly better. I think that's where the jump came for him, was because he was such a good scorer already. And he really polished his game. And that's what we've been talking about with Tyler, but just in a different direction, right? Like he became a higher usage guy because he could be, because he was a better passer, because he was so lethal in the mid range. He has the post game also in the mid range that Tyler just doesn't have. Like that's not a layer in Tyler's game. So that's like, he's an extra threat from two in that way as well. Better finisher at the rim than Tyler. And not to mention the physical differences, like those things end up being the separators, in my opinion, between them two. I still think Tyler's a good player. He's nowhere near, obviously, Devin Booker's level. But as far as like that comparison, there are some things you could learn from Booker as far as the way he's played with Team USA. And I don't think he can get to that level that Booker is at personally. Or, you know, that's not what we want. But to me, like playing off ball doesn't just mean all your shots are catch and shoot threes, right? And I think that's just to clear that up for people who think that I want him to be like a spot up guy only, which is great. He's a great spot up shooter, a fantastic spot up shooter. But I do think like him, he can still be, you know, benefiting off a screen and roll and making plays in a similar way, kind of to like what Duncan does and what the stuff that Duncan's added the past couple of seasons, where it's like they're playing off the leverage. And I think it's easier for him to get an advantage playing off ball, right? Because they're going to close out on him and he can find himself with a 3-on-2 or a 2-on-1, whatever, 4-on-3 faster than if he is starting off on ball. Because I just don't think he's, you know, he has not like a great burst or first step guy. So, like, I still want him running pick and roll specifically in, like, those lineups where he's one of the main guys. But that off-ball part just feels like it can be so much stronger for him. And I don't think the other stuff has to really come down. Like, I think he'll become a more efficient passer even if the numbers go down, or a more efficient scorer even if the numbers go down. And I think it's, like, that's the healthiest balance for his game, in my opinion.
Well, and I'll go back to the tweet as we close here. So, I think this is to me, this is the thing that I think people have to understand. When the tweet came out, again, we're 4.5 years ago, it was somebody saying you can be better than him as an all-around game. But again, players don't say the same. So what they were talking about was what Devin Booker was at that time. And I think you hit on it, Alex. Like, he was not this. And I think for Tyler, it's a first thing, finding the fit with this group. Okay, where can I best contribute to winning and maximize my own ability? And that's on Spoelstra too. I mean, that's on the coaching staff. That's on all of them to kind of figure this out while this group is still together. But additionally, I think it is about identifying the two or three things that are possible to improve. And, you know, we've talked about the free throw attempts. I don't think that's possible to improve. I don't. But I think what we're saying is activating him more as an off-ball player, getting him in more of those actions, where then maybe he can create as an off the ball player that becomes an on the ball player. Okay. But their actions have been stagnant the past couple of years. And some of it's coaching, some of it's the players that are on the court, and some of it's the Bam Jimmy fit. We've talked about all of this, but I think that if it's going to be largely the same group, you're injecting more of Hawkins. You know, again, we'll see if Larson contributes, some of the other pieces that they added here, but so much of their success offensively is going to come down to, as long as he's on the roster, how much does Tyler grow? And I think there is a good example to be taken from Devin. Devin didn't have to come off the bench, by the way, until the final. He didn't have to, so that's not what this is about. It was just about, okay, you can't play the role that you play in Phoenix. How can you play a role to help this team win a gold medal? And he did that. And I think Devin earned a lot of respect with that. Anyway, thanks to Alex. Thanks to Brady. We'll get to our top 40 here pretty soon. Subscribe to Off the Floor. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.